Wow, look at that. It's on the website. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. On the website at prolifeprofiles.com, the long-awaited, much-anticipated profile of National Right to Life. The National Right to Life profile published at prolifeprofiles.com. And there they lay out a four-tier explanation to understand the pro-life movement: personhood now, personhood whenever, personhood later, personhood never. And National Right to Life is, well, they rate themselves as personhood later. They oppose efforts to get the government to uphold the unborn child's God-given right to life. They uphold them. They say we shouldn't do that now. Perhaps we can do that later, but we shouldn't do that now. And so their personhood later. The profile, man, this is... Those guys over at American Right to Life, they're pretty busy, huh? This website is published by American Right to Life, and it is a growing resource. This was just published today. A press release went out nationwide on the publication of the National Right to Life pro-life profile, and Wanda Franz. Hey, that's a pretty good sketch of her, wouldn't you say? I'd say that's a, is that a flattering sketch of Wanda Franz? They're sure not trying to make her look bad. Yeah, that's a nice drawing. Prolifeprofiles.com, every person that is profiled on this website, a profile is like a perspective of someone, and a physical visual profile is a picture of someone from the side, not face on, not a face shot like you might see if you go and search on the internet, Google Images, and you search for Wanda Franz. Every picture you see will be her face, because cameramen take pictures of people looking at the camera. You could go through 100 pictures of her and not find a profile. But at prolifeprofiles.com, everyone who they've developed a dossier on, there's a sketch artist who's created their profiles. And I'd say that's pretty good. And this here report, wow, this is absolutely stunning. Now, there's some audio and video on this profile. You got to go to it, prolifeprofiles.com/NRTL. If you want, National Right to Life, or slash Wanda, that'll work, or slash Franz, F-R-A-N-Z, or slash, what do they call themselves? They call themselves NRLC, and they call themselves that because no one in the country knows what that means. You could do prolifeprofiles.com/NRLC. I wonder if you could do prolifeprofiles.com/, and then you could kill the baby. Because I've noticed over the years, if you go on the internet and you type in, and then you could kill the baby.com, if you do that, do you know where you go to? You go to National Right to Life's profile. It's National Right to Life's website. You go to their website, and then you could kill the baby.com. So our phone number here at Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART. 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I'm actually going to their website while we're on the air here. Actually, no, I'm going to the pro-life profiles. And what I want to see is, I want to see how witty those guys are. And then you can kill the baby, and then you could kill the baby. All right, let's see. Because every regulation that National Right to Life supports is a regulation that says, and then you could kill the baby. That's what they do. They say, wait 24 hours, and then you can kill the baby. So let me type that, prolifeprofiles.com/. It works. You got to try that. I'm talking to my producer. You got to try that. prolifeprofiles.com/, and then you can kill the baby. And it goes right to National Right to Life's profile. What a trip. What a trip. They oppose every law And as far as I can tell, every politician who seeks to uphold the God-given right to life of unborn children, they only support laws if they are like Roe v. Wade, the judicial opinion Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade regulated abortion. It was a regulation of abortion. They said, here's how and when you can do this, what they call pro-choice, that you could kill the baby. And Wanda Franz, president of National Right to Life for decades, her and their national board, they support only regulations that are like Roe v. Wade, that regulate the killing of children. And politicians who advocate killing children, I'd urge you to check this out at prolifeprofiles.com. I think you'll be stunned. I do. Let me see if Wanda actually works. Prolifeprofiles.com/Wanda. That works too. What a trip. It's a trip and a half, this website. All right. Before we continue with that, you guys have heard about the teachers who have helped their students cheat on standardized tests. You've heard about that? And then a handful of teachers get fired, administrator gets fired, vice principal gets fired. I mean, it used to be that occasionally you find students who cheat. That's the way it used to be. Today, the way it is you find teachers who cheat. But then when you have teachers who cheat, how does the vice principal get fired? How does that happen? It obviously goes up the chain of command to where this is an open secret at the school that, hey, we need funding, we need job security, we need to look good, so we're going to tell our students the answers to the questions before they take the test. And what happens when there are no absolutes, when there is no absolute morality, when everything is relative, right? You can advocate laws that regulate how to kill a black man or how to gas children in a concentration camp. You could regulate laws like that. And you could regulate how exactly the abortionist is going to kill the late-term baby. You could do that with the Partial Birth Abortion Fiasco Act. When there is no foundation for morality, not even regarding murder, when God said, thou shalt not murder, when there is no foundation, when you get to make it up as you go along, then what do you think? That's only going to affect one part of life? That's it? It's only going to help you elect, what, Republicans who are going to fix the country? You think that's all that's going to be a result of compromising on God's commands? That's it? The only effect is it's going to help elect Republicans who are going to fix the country. So it's worthwhile to set aside God's concerns, because God doesn't call it exceptions. He doesn't call it an exception. He calls it a baby. That's different than an exception, isn't it? Do I have that right? Is a baby different than an exception? Because it seems to me that what happens is that you have people like, let's say, George W. Bush, and people like him advocate killing a very large number of children, and they call it an exception. But I wonder, does God call it an exception? When Planned Parenthood gets their hands on that child, the little boy or a little girl, however old the child is, 14 weeks, 20 weeks, 9, whatever, however old, and Planned Parenthood rips the arms and legs off of that child, does God look down and say, well, that's just an exception? Is that what he says? It doesn't seem to me that that's what God would be saying. It just doesn't seem that way to me. But I'm old-fashioned, you know? So what George W. Bush calls an exception, I think that what we can realize is that God calls this a child, not an exception. There's a chart here, and it shows how many kids have been killed by George W. Bush by his own policies. And I don't mean while he was president because of the U.S. Supreme Court or because of the Democrats, or I don't mean any of that. I mean by his own policies. And so here it is right here. National Right to Life approved politicians like John McCain, George W. Bush. So here's a National Right to Life leaders casualty count, not including children killed by laws and court opinions opposed by George W. Bush. But National Right to Life favorite George W. Bush supported killing 3,340,600 children while president, just in the years while he was president, by his own policies and approval. So just imagine if he is standing before God and he had lived a pretty good life, but his career was going to be messed up. If some woman had a baby, it hurt his career. So he worked to work it out that the baby would be killed. Remember, wasn't there some other leader of a country who killed not the baby, but the father? Remember that? He didn't want to get caught being the father of a child, somebody else's child, so he killed the father. Who was that guy? Well, his initials were UH. Ulysses H. No. Hey, Uriah the Hittite. Is that UH? Uriah the Hittite. So King David, he killed Bathsheba's husband because he didn't want this baby to mess up his career. That's what he did. And so George W. Bush, he's been willing to kill children because he doesn't want his career messed up, because he doesn't want to come across that like a Christian fundamentalist who goes by the Bible. I mean, that would be horrific to him. So just imagine if he was standing before God and to help his career or to help his whatever, he's got a, maybe he's in college and he has a girlfriend and she's pregnant and she thinks the baby is going to mess up her life and he agrees. So he helps her kill the baby. And then he's standing before God. Do you think that will be like nothing? I have a dear friend from way back in the 70s. He played a role in a young woman killing herself. And it was a tragic story. He and his friends treated this woman despicably, and she was desperate. They were despicable. So they threw money at her and treated her despicably, and she went up on their roof and jumped off and killed herself. Now, that's a friend of mine from the 70s. Now, that happened in the late 50s. And my friend, he was part of that group. And you know what they did after she killed herself? Nothing. They did nothing. They went on with their lives. He told me he never thought about her again. That was it. For 20 years, he never thought about her. Then one day he met Jesus Christ. Not in person, but he was listening to Christian radio and he realized what he was hearing was true, that he was destroying his life because he was rebelling against God. He didn't care what Jesus Christ had done for him. He didn't care about God. He cared only about his own desires, selfishness. And so he pulled his car over and he prayed and he asked God to forgive him of his sins and to help him trust in Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection to pay for his sin, my friend's sin, and my sin and your sin. When my friend prayed, he told me then, some few weeks later, he said the first thing that happened to him is that he had a rush of memories, and the first person he remembered was this woman whose life was destroyed. 5 minutes earlier, he would have told someone, hey, I'm good enough to get to heaven. I'm a good person. I'm better than you are. I'm an awfully good person. I don't need to be forgiven. But then when Jesus Christ comes in and the Holy Spirit is able to convict us, because now he's not working from the outside in, he's working from the inside out, the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, and we are in Christ and he is in us, so then here's this instant conviction. And here, he remembers this woman and how he and his friends destroyed this woman. And what is the penalty when God looks down and he cares about this woman and he sees these people destroy her? What is the penalty? It's just nothing? It's a slap on the wrist? It's welcome to eternal paradise? No, because if that were it, then eternal paradise would turn into hell because everybody'd be rotten to each other, because it wouldn't matter, because God would be a wimp and he couldn't enforce any kind of holiness or goodness or love toward one another because he always has to forgive everybody. So that's the recipe for turning heaven into hell. If you want to turn heaven into hell, you invite everyone and you forgive everyone and you don't judge anyone. And then you've succeeded in turning heaven into hell. And believe me, there are a lot of people who want to do that. There are a lot of people who want God to be wrong so that they can be right. A lot of people. If you have someone like my friend who is integrally involved in this woman's life and she killed herself, and then if he had not turned to God for forgiveness, when he stood before God, even though he would have had forgotten her for 50 years, the first thing that would have been presented to him on judgment day is this woman standing before him. First thing. And then everything else. And so when you kill one person, the guilt is sufficient to earn eternal punishment. So imagine if George W. Bush stood before God and when he was in college, he thought maybe, you know, this girlfriend of his, he'd have more fun with her and she'd have more fun if she didn't have to care for a child. So he helped her kill the child. They got a suction aspiration device and they ripped the baby's arms and legs off. Well, maybe he didn't do it himself. Maybe he paid somebody back then $150 to rip the baby's arms and legs off, paid it to Planned Parenthood. Denver abortionist Edward Patrick O'Loughlin paid him $200, kill the baby. And so then George Bush stands before God and the guilt of innocent blood will be there crying out against him. But that is not the story of George W. Bush. That's not it. He's not like King David, who murdered one person and as a result saw his family destroyed and his nation destroyed. George W. Bush is not King David. He didn't support murdering one innocent person. He supported killing hundreds, thousands, millions. 3.3 million children, George W. Bush, by his own policies and approval, supported killing 3,340,600 children. Now, how do we know that? Well, it's on ProLifeProfiles.com. It can't be wrong, can it? It's on ProLifeProfiles.com. Well, right there, they have a $100 bill on the screen. I'm looking at it right now, $100 bill. It says, find an error, win this. And you click on the $100 bill, and it explains. You find any kind of substantive error, and you win $100. And that offer is made to anyone in the country or in the world. But how could they come up with 3.3 million children murdered by George W. Bush? Because Hitler is responsible for the innocent people that he slaughtered, that he murdered. But how many did he kill with his own hands? I don't know. Have you seen movies about World War II? Have you seen documentaries? How many people did Hitler bury alive with his own hands, shovel and dirt? I miss that scene. You know, the documentary's on. You go to the kitchen, you get a sandwich. I must have missed that. How many did he shoot point blank in the head? I don't remember. How many did he gas? He brought him into a gas chamber and turned the handle in. I don't remember. Was it 10,000? Was it zero? He's responsible for all the bloodshed, all the murder committed under his authority in his name by the laws and the people he appointed when he approved of the slaughter of the innocent. Even if he was just willfully ignorant and negligent, he'd be responsible. But if he actively approved of it, then he's really responsible. And so George W. Bush is responsible for killing these children the way a German is responsible for killing children in a concentration camp. You know, the Germans didn't always rip the children's arms and legs off. They didn't always do that. Sometimes they gave them a painless death. Planned Parenthood has slaughtered millions of children in a horrific way. You could watch a video of it. The silent scream, watch an abortion taking place. But how does ProLifeProfiles.com, how do they know it's 3.3 million children? Well, they document it. You click on the number, 3.3 million children. You click on the number, and it opens up a screen on your computer, and it says exceptionscalculator.com. And if you don't believe them, you could do it yourself. Because you put the name of the person, here it says George W. Bush, office or title, president, jurisdiction, United States, beginning of term, and they have that 8-year term there, 2001 to 2009. Then there's a section on statistics, annual abortion statistics. How many surgical abortions in a year? How many abortions for rape and incest? How many for life of the mother? What percent? How many children are killed by RU-486? How many children are destroyed by grisly research? Tiny boys and girls that George W. Bush became the first American president to fund embryonic research, lethal research on children. And so there's a statistics section. And if you think the numbers supplied by American Right to Life are a bit wrong, you could just adjust them because it's a calculator like any other calculator. And then you check the president's policies or the mayor or the judge or the governor or the senator. You check their policies. Does he support exceptions for rape? The right to kill a child for the father's crime? If so, you check that one. And then that means that George W. Bush killed so many tens of thousands of children while in office for that exception. And how about for incest? And how about for life of the mother? And how about RU-486? And how about Plan B? And how about mechanical abortifacients that kill the baby after they're conceived? And how about lethal embryonic research? You tally that up, and I see here, and I could check and uncheck these, and it responds immediately the way computers do. And this says George W. Bush, President, United States, 2001 to 2009, is responsible for, and then there's a long list of children killed by all these different methods that he supports, advocates, funds, in a total of 3,340,600 children killed by the actual policies and approval of President George W. Bush, who National Right to Life calls our most pro-life president ever. So when he stands before God, how is he going to fare if he has not repented? Because he is proud. He is proud of the pro-abortion judges he's filled the federal and state courts with. The Texas Supreme Court, federal courts, Supreme Court. He's proud of that. He's proud of his position to support the right to kill children under many, many circumstances. He's proud of that. He's proud of never supporting any ban on the killing of children. like in Colorado or South Dakota. He's proud of that. And does National Right to Life care about the soul of George W. Bush? Do they care about his eternal soul? Do they care? Or do they use him for their own financial and power lust?
My name is Tom Healy. I'm 70 years old, retired federal law enforcement from Texas. When I became a Christian, I, like most Christians, was dropped into the details of the Bible, and I was confused. About 7 years ago, I tuned in about Show. He caught my interest, so I tuned in again and again. This guy made sense, and he was espousing wisdom that I knew in my heart was right. And it agreed with Scripture many times to my surprise. Bob had authored a Bible study called The Plot, an overview of the Bible, which was mentioned quite often on the show. Clergy would call and say, I've been a minister for 20 years, and after reading The Plot, I now understand the Bible. This caught my attention as I had read the Bible until I was cross-eyed. After the third clergyman called, I ordered The Plot. Hey, it had a money-back guarantee. When I finished reading it, I wanted to dance on my kitchen table. Hallelujah, God's word is now clear. To order, call 1-800-8-INYART, that's E-N-Y-A-R-T, or 1-800-836-9278, that's 1-800-836-9278, or go online at kgov.com, that's K-G-O-V.com. Thank you very much.